We turn today to Matthew chapter 5, and we come to the third verse. Matthew chapter 5, and we come to the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Dear congregation, we have in chapters 5 through to 7, Christ's well-known sermon on the Mount. It is the largest recorded sermon in Scripture, and so full of instruction, and has been an aid to many. Well, he begins this famous sermon, our Lord does, with what is commonly called the Beatitudes. And we have them here this morning, from the third verse down to verse 12. Now, there is a difference of opinion on how many they are. However, it does appear that there are 8 different characteristics of those that are blessed, or things that identify one who is blessed by the Lord. The final characteristic, beginning in verse 10. Now, as you notice verse 10 and verse 11, you see why some have thought it's 9 Beatitudes or even 12 Beatitudes. But we conclude, and I stand with a number, that there are 8 Beatitudes, for in verse 10, we particularly consider this characteristic of those that are persecuted. It is stated in verse 10 and commented further in verse 11 and verse 12. Blessed are the persecuted. We're thinking of this characteristic or this that identifies those that are blessed. And then in verse 11, it's expounded further. Blessed are you when men shall revile and persecute you. You see, it's the same theme, the same characteristic. And then following on verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets, which were before you. 8 different characteristics or things that identify those that are blessed by the Lord. The one who truly believes in Jesus and have repented of their sins is blessed. Now we read in verse 1 these words. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He went up a particular mountain and prepared himself. We note there these words. And when he was set, and then his disciples came unto him. He directed his words to his disciples, yet it is evident that many others heard. For we read in chapter 7 and verse 28 and verse 29, after his sermon, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we see that the disciples were called, and the sermons were particularly for them, but we note that others heard, many others heard. The people there in chapter 7. They gathered, they heard. We hear then our Lord, he went up a mountain and he was set. His disciples came unto him, and we're told in verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. He was there and he opened his mouth. Well, they were there and they were ready to hear. And let me ask you, as we come to these words this morning and as we begin to look at the Beatitudes here, are you ready to hear? Are you ready to listen? Dear young ones, are you like Samuel saying, speak for thy servant hearing? We ought to be in anticipation, there to hear the word of the Lord. And as we think of these things this morning, prayerfully ask the Lord to speak to you. That's an important thing, isn't it? Each and every day in our homes, before we come to the reading of the Word of God, we ought to pray. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Show me the way. And then before times of public worship, before we come to the Word, pray that the Lord would speak to you. It's good to make that little prayer. Young people here this morning, make that little prayer. Speak to me. Well, we read in verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them. The disciples came and he began to speak unto them. For here is the great preacher preaching this sermon. And he shows those that are blessed. When verse 3 we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy. One is blessed, one is in a happy state. They are in the kingdom. They are justified. Their sins are pardoned. There is fellowship with God. They are assisted and supported in life. They have been shown mercy. They are the children of God. They will see him and be with him forever in the eternal world. Blessed. And dear brethren, as we think of those things, and as we think of the Beatitudes, how blessed we are. See here the blessed state the true believer is in, the one who has gone to Christ and has repented of their sins. The blessed state they know, and the blessed state they will enjoy forever and ever. Now, if we come to the Beatitudes, we can look at each one individually, and that's what we're going to do. But remember, they are to be taken as a whole. Those that are poor in spirit are those also in verse 4 that have mourned over their sin. And those that have mourned over their sin know this inner meekness. They're to be taken as a whole. We're not thinking of different groups of people here. We're thinking of the people of God who are blessed. And there are these eight characteristics or eight things that identify them. We take them individually because that's a good way of doing it. But as we think of the Beatitudes, we consider them as a whole. There are eight pieces, as one of our elders put it, that make up the whole and set forth those who are blessed. The Beatitudes, the blessings, those that are blessed. We see who they are, they're the Lord's people, and what identifies them. The characteristic. Well, today we come to the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two brief things for the remainder of the time this morning. Firstly, the poor in spirit, the believer's heart. And then secondly, the kingdom of heaven, the believer's portion. The poor in spirit, the believer's heart. And secondly, the kingdom of heaven, the believer's portion. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But let's consider then the poor in spirit, the believer's heart. Our Lord said in Matthew 16, verse 28, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To what profit, to what advantage if he gained the whole world but suffered loss forever in that place called hell? How empty is such a man's life? He may be rich, but his life is so empty. He's living for this world and what he possesses. In contrast, in the first Beatitude, we are presented with one who is poor in spirit. And they are blessed. They may not have the whole world, and they do not. But they are so blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we think of the kingdom of heaven, how wonderful, what a rich and glorious portion it is compared to the riches of this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now let's particularly note this word, poor. We notice it is connected with the spirit or the heart, poor in spirit. Now at the root of the word, it speaks of one crouching. And therefore we are led to consider one begging. They're found asking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're in that state, they're found asking. And immediately we're presented that they, with one that sees their need. They see their need of Christ. They see their need, their total need of him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're not boasting in themselves. They're depending on Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Think of the root of the word. It speaks of this crouching, this begging. They're found asking. to brethren who are at the feet of Jesus, looking up to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And as we think of this, as we think of one asking, we also live to consider humility. One has been humbled by grace and is found looking to the Lord. Now let me say firstly, it is not a put on poverty. It is not a put on poverty. A number in the Roman Catholic Church have become monks. Once was Martin Luther. And that put on spirit of poverty. They do penance, hoping to earn forgiveness. A put on poverty. But it's not this. Others who are not Catholic can be found putting on a show of poverty. Yet their hearts are stone. They're hypocrites in the church. It's not a put on poverty. I've heard certain ones speak of their unworthiness, yet they have not been humbled by grace and truly sought forgiveness. It's not a put on poverty. What our Lord is considering here is those who have been humbled by grace, who have humbly asked the Lord for mercy, being conscious of their sin, and who have gone to him in that initial way, and further, who in their lives ask him for more of his gracious supply. Yes, the believer is not perfect, but they know again and again what it is to go humbly to the Lord and ask for more of his gracious supply. In that initial way, they humbly and ask the Lord for mercy. They were conscious of their sin. And they continue to go humbly to the Lord as being one of his people and ask him for fatherly forgiveness and for more of his gracious supply. They're poor in spirit. They're asking. They've been humbled. They're looking to him. They see their need of him. One has and one does see their need. They're found considering their sin, their emptiness. And further, what they are and the good they do is because of grace and what Christ has done. Now, by nature, men are proud. Many will not think about God. Some are proud and, yes, they do think about God. Many do not, but some do. And outwardly, they may seek God. They may become a little more religious, but still there's pride. Look what I'm doing. Even at this time of the year, there'll be those. Well, I'm going to church. I'm going to remember the Lord. But they don't truly seek the Lord. There's pride within. Well, consider certain proud men. They're so full of themselves. They abound in pride. There's no shortage there. But in contrast, consider here those who are humbled by grace. They seek mercy. Let me illustrate this by the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this man, publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Think of the Pharisee first. He was just full of himself. He boasted in what he thought he was not. And then what he thought he was. He boasted, I'm not as other men. I'm a good man. I do what is right. He boasted in himself. It was all about him. I. Young people, count how many I's are there in that parable said by the Pharisee. It was all about him. Is there anyone here this morning? Your life is all about yourself. Do you think you're good? And others, well, they're not good like you. Look what I'm doing. Such a one is not being humbled by grace, nor that the Lord would humble you. The Pharisee was full of himself. In contrast, the publican, in a humble, penitent way, cried out to the Lord for mercy. He couldn't look up. He felt his sin. He beat his own breast. We're presented with one who is poor in spirit. He had nothing to boast of. He knew his great need. He cried out and he begged God for mercy. Here's the beginning. John Gill, commenting on these words, being sensible of their poverty, they place themselves at the door of mercy and knock there. Their language is, God be merciful. God be merciful. There's that initial cry and there's that ongoing cry. God be merciful to me in this situation and in this bad situation. All that men and women would be brought to that point. It's our prayer, isn't it? That they might see their emptiness. They might feel their sin and cry to God for mercy. I have to say, we live amongst so many in this nation who are so proud. And they are so proud if they do not go to God for mercy. Oh, that men will be brought to this point, that they would be humbled, and that they would beseech the Lord for mercy, that they would be sensible of their emptiness and cry out for mercy. One of all wrote, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked came to thee for dress, helpless looked to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Here's one. They see their emptiness. They're not trusting in what they're doing. They see their emptiness and they look to him. Where the Lord humbles. Well, dear brethren, let us be thankful. The Lord humbled us by his grace. He caused us to see our need of him. And we cried out for mercy. We were led to consider our need of Christ. We had nothing to offer. Are we not thankful we were brought to that point? And dear brethren, are we not thankful we were led to consider God's amazing grace? Remember what Paul said? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. He was led to consider the grace of God. He had nothing to boast of himself that would merit salvation. He was lost in wonder at the grace of God. Paul was a humble man. He was poor in spirit. He's the believer then. Poor in spirit. They consider what the Lord has done. They see their need of him. And they are left wondering at the grace of God. The Puritan Jeremiah Bowes, who wrote extensively on the Beatitudes, wrote this. The poor, they are admirers of free grace. The poor, they are admirers of free grace. Dear brethren, do not we humbly recognize that all we have is because of him. And what we need further in this life comes from his gracious supply. And so we keep going and asking him. Remember the word again? It speaks of one crouching, begging, asking. We keep going, Lord, dispense more of thy gracious supply to me. I need it in every situation. I need certain things. Oh, we recognize our need. Often in my life I've thought of these words in John 15 verse 5. Remember the words of Christ. Without me ye can do nothing. It's one thing to read those words, but it's another thing to really grasp those words. Without me ye can do nothing. The Lord makes it plain. We need him. And it's good each and every day when we're brought to a point. I need thee in this situation. Without me ye can do nothing. When we rightly consider the things before us, we recognize our weakness. We know that our knowledge is so limited. We need the Lord. We need His strength. We need direction. We need help. And we go humbly to the Lord and ask Him for it. We ask Him for help, strength and direction. We ask Him for more grace. We ask Him, we're poor in spirit. Later in the sermon, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, we read, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And the poor in spirit, they go asking. They go seeking. And they go knocking at the door of mercy. Lord, help me. One just prayed that little prayer. She was poor in spirit. Lord, help me. We recognize our need. We need the Lord today. We need the Lord this week. We recognize Him. And so we ask Him, help me, Lord, this week. Psalm 70, verse 5. "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy, Lord. Help me. Make haste." We look to Him. And dear brethren, let us count the value of what the Lord has done in our lives. That He's humbled us by grace. And we're found asking Him. And in our lives as believers, are we not thankful when there's that humbling again and again? And we keep going to Him. How blessed we are to be found seeing our need of Him each and every day. And we're found going to Him. Dear brethren, we commit ourselves to God. Psalm 10 verse 14. "The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." We could think of certain ones who have nothing in this world, much to their name. They go and ask the Lord, but then think of those who are poor in spirit. "The poor committeth himself unto thee." The believer knows they need the Lord today and in the future and in view of all things. The poor committeth. We commit our souls unto the Lord. We commit the whole of our lives unto the Lord. The spiritual things we need and the temporal things we need. We look to Him. We're committing. And it speaks that we're trusting. We're also hoping. We have this confidence in Him. We commit ourselves unto Him. It's a lovely description, isn't it? Committing ourselves. The Lord has humbled us. And we commit our souls unto Him. We need the Lord to go on. And so we commit ourselves to Him. Oh, how He hears our prayers. Oh, how He assists us. Psalm 69 verse 33. "For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners." The Lord heareth. One's been humbled by grace. And the Lord hears. And dear brethren, we have gone humbly to the Lord, and the Lord hears. The Lord heareth the poor. Remember again, Matthew 7 verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." He listens to the poor, humble man. Those who are poor in spirit, dear brethren, take comfort. He listens to you. He's done a work in your heart. It's all of grace. He's humbled you by grace. And He listens to you because of His grace and what Christ has done. He hears. And He answers in accordance to His will and in His good time. Psalm 9 verse 18. "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." They cry. They commit themselves to the Lord. The Lord hears them, and their expectation shall not perish forever. He will send relief. He will meet your need, and there will be further gracious supplies. Sometimes we may feel that things are a while in coming, but what do we read? "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." We may think, well, is the Lord remembering me? Yes, He is. And in his good time, relief will come, deliverance, but in the meanwhile there is his grace. It may be you're asking the Lord for something and you know it's in light of the word, where your expectation will not be disappointed. It's not easy to wait. But we're waiting, dear brethren, for something that is precious. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The wait will be over. He's heard you. He will help you. He will send deliverance. He'll keep you waiting there. And one of the reasons is that you lean more on him. And you commit yourself more to him. It's not easy to wait, is it? Maybe you're waiting for something to come through the post. You've ordered something. And you ask one day, was there any post today? Or you go to the door yourself and there's nothing there. It's not easy to wait. When I was at my first employment, I used to get a lift home with my father 3 times a week. I would start earlier and finish earlier. He would finish after me. And I would have to wait for him. I would walk to a certain point on the road. And there I would wait. Sometimes I would have to wait for nearly an hour. And in the winter time, so I used to see the lights coming down over the hill. And I used to see it. Is that the one? And then wait for the indicator. But the cars used to go past. And sometimes it was so long, the time, and it was hard to wait. It's not easy at times, but we're to be patient, we're told in James. And our expectation, it will not be disappointed. There will come fresh supplies at the appointed time. But remember this, there is his grace in the meanwhile. One of old wrote, the Lord's people are a humble people. Spurgeon wrote this, afflicted, emptied, sensible of need, driven to daily attendance on God, daily begging of him and living upon the hope of what is promised. Such persons may have to wait, but they shall find that they do not wait in vain. We will not be disappointed. We're looking to him. Fresh supplies of his grace will come. And in the meanwhile, there is his upholding grace. Jesus is speaking here then of the believer. Dear brethren, he is speaking of you. You are described as poor in spirit, one who has been humbled by grace, one who has been led to consider your need. And as we think of this, what a blessing that we're looking to the Lord to supply. And that we are supported by him. The Lord is our benefactor. James 4 verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He's our benefactor. He gives more grace. There's more supplies of it. He dispenses it towards us. He supplies our needs. Philippians 4 verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now just before we draw to a close this morning and consider our final point, as we think of these words, the poor in spirit, the Lord makes plain that they are blessed. But let me underline this, they are not perfect in spirit. They're poor in spirit, but they are not perfect in spirit. Through the grace of God, they've been humbled. They've seen their sin. Notice the second beatitude, blessed are they that mourn. Now it's interesting when we come to that beatitude, the focus particularly in context is this mourning over sin. Blessed are they that mourn. There's been this mourning over sin. They've looked to the Lord, they're saved, but they're still indwelling sin. And pride can arise, and we can go astray. We need to keep a check on ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes, we've been humbled by grace, but we're not perfect. We're not perfect in spirit. We have to wait to the moment of death for that. And what a moment it will be. When we say goodbye to sin, We don't really fully grasp it at times, what a moment it will be. No wonder the apostle said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's many gains. One of them is this. We say goodbye to our sin. Roll on that moment, Lord, for me. But till then, there's indwelling sin, and pride can arise. And we need to keep a check on ourselves. How am I doing? What spirit am I doing this in? How did I say this thing? Dear brethren, be careful. Pride can arise in the church. We need to keep a check on ourselves. We need to be so careful. A humble spirit in the church is a great blessing, and a humble church will bring much glory to God. We need to be careful then. For blessed are the poor in spirit. If we feel that pride is arising, we mustn't excuse it. We must mourn over it. For blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We must seek to live in light of this description about us, that we are poor in spirit. How we think of us, that's so important. We may be careful in the way in which we speak to others, but how we think about them. Can there be this Pharisaical spirit, as we see in Luke 18, in the heart, and not as this person? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What a blessing to have been humbled by grace, to see our need of Him, and to keep returning to Him, continually going to Him and asking Him, Lord, I need help in this situation. Lord, I need help as I live my life. Lord, I need help in the home, in the community. Lord, I know my need, and so I come to Thee. And I ask, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now in closing we note here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So as we draw to a close this morning, secondly, the kingdom of heaven, the believer's portion. Through grace, they shall have a kingdom to dwell in. A kingdom set up by the Lord for His people. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Found in the kingdom, savingly united to Christ in His church, in the kingdom of grace, and one day they will enter the kingdom of glory. That Christ is the King. He reigns on the throne in heaven over His church, and He reigns in the hearts of His people. Luke 17, verse 21, for the kingdom of God is within you. Plainly we see there, it is a spiritual kingdom. And the subjects know Christ in a spiritual way. Dear brethren, what a blessing. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom for the poor in spirit. A kingdom set up by the Lord for His people. Have you this kingdom to live in? Colossians 1 verse 13, who have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're in the kingdom, dear brethren, and one day we will go to glory and be found in the kingdom of glory. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're in, but then you will know that part, particularly the kingdom of glory. It is given in a gracious way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You think of the poor in spirit, they've been humbled by grace. Nothing in my hand I bring. They know they've got nothing to merit. Blessing. So when we think of the kingdom of heaven, it's been given in a gracious way. Confirmed in Luke 12, verse 32. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you. Given by grace, it is of the Father's good pleasure. It begins with grace and it ends with grace. And there's no room for pride in the middle. It is ours to dwell in. Because of Christ we are entitled to it. And one day, dear brethren, we shall enter heaven, the kingdom of glory. In the kingdom of grace, one day when there is glory as well. In the world there is much tribulation. There are wolves out there. But take comfort, the kingdom of glory awaits you. One day we shall be there with Christ. Philippians 1 verse 23, for I am in a strait, but it's too, having a desire to depart with Christ, which is far better. Think of what is before you. We are so blessed, dear brethren. The heavenly mansion awaits you. And the Lord is preparing it for you. Those who have been humbled by grace will know the riches of heaven. We know the blessings, the riches of the kingdom. The kingdom of grace. Christ is over. What rich blessings in the kingdom. There's worship, there's the ordinances. But then consider the riches of heaven. We are so blessed. Dear brethren, we have been blessed. We've been blessed because we've been humbled by grace. That's a blessing, isn't it? What a blessing to be humbled by grace. The blessing to know Christ. We were humbled and we were led to consider our need of Christ. And now we know him. We're blessed we're in the kingdom. And we're blessed because we have a wonderful home to go to. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's ours now. It's waiting for us as well. And we shall enjoy it one day. Dear brethren, we've been humbled by grace, saved by grace, we're preserved by grace. And one day, because of grace and what Christ has done, we will enter that place given for our dwelling, prepared by Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I pity proud men on the road to destruction. Dear brethren, let us rejoice. We've been humbled by grace and we're on the road to eternal life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We've been humbled. We've been led to consider Christ. And now we know Christ in the kingdom. And we're looking forward to seeing him in the kingdom of glory. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Dear brethren, let us recognize how blessed we are. We're blessed, we're in the kingdom, we've been humbled. As we shall see next time, the Lord willing, there's comfort for us. Our sins are forgiven and there's further comfort for us as the Lord's people in this life. We will inherit the earth, we're blessed there. There's this filling, the Lord has blessed us, there's mercy, and on we could go. We are so blessed. How thankful we are. We are, know we are blessed. For the Lord is speaking. The teacher is speaking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He says it. Doubts may arise. But listen. You are blessed, says Jesus. You're in that happy state. And you're going to the kingdom of glory. Amen. Let us pray.